Let us celebrate our fruitfulness. Luke chapter 4, verse 14 to 21, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 to 31. One of my favorite movie stars is Robert Downey Jr., who many know played Iron Man. In the movie, he could do whatever he wants. He flies everywhere, beats up villains, and takes revenge for other people. Also, in real life, he is one of the world's most famous movie stars, so he has countless fans around the world. Then what about his family life? For his children, he is just an ordinary dad who makes silly faces to make his children laugh. It's funny, his son does not like Iron Man, and instead, he is a big fan of the superhero Hawkeye. When we think about Jesus, we assumed that since he is a son of God, Jesus had transcendent power and he could do whatever he wants, and people would respect him everywhere and want to follow him. But actually, this is not true. In Matthew 8:20, Jesus said that foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. His life was uneven and rough. In fact, Jesus was rejected even by the people of his hometown, Nazareth, at the beginning of his public life. Matthew, Mark, and Luke commonly speak this fact. In today's gospel text, when Jesus came to Nazareth, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom, and he read words of prophet Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring goodness to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then in verse 21, Jesus said, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The text we read today makes it seem as if the story in the synagogue ended like this. But in fact, this story is twists as we go further into it. When the people who gathered at the synagogue heard Jesus, they wondered, "Is not this Joseph's son?" This shows that people thought Jesus was an ordinary person imitating a great man. So Jesus rebuked their lack of faith. But at the end, they attempted to drag Jesus out of the neighborhood and drag him away to a cliff because they were so upset this ordinary man they knew was pretending to be someone great. Every time I read this story, I always wonder, would Jesus have said this without knowing that he would be rejected? Did Jesus not anticipate their negative reactions? I don't think so. I think that Jesus would have certainly still spoken at the synagogue, even though he already knew that he would be rejected. Since it was something that he knew he must do and it was a very important message for them to hear, Jesus would do it, although he knew that they will reject him and even try to kill him. When we live our lives, there are things that we have to do, even though the results are obviously bad. Sometimes I feel that this is just adult life. We cannot always choose the easy way or do what we want to do. There are things that we need to do, even if it is difficult. Ministry is like this. There are always things that are easy to get interested in, things that everyone is having fun with. On the other hand, there are some things that no one likes, something that nobody wants to do, but something that must be done. I think one of these things is a ministry for the next generation, children, youth, and young adults. It is especially difficult, not only for the churches, but also for the pastors who are ministering in small rural area like us. One of the ministries that Pastor Kuko and I have started during our ministry here with Upper St. Clair Parish was to start up the parish youth group meeting. This is because we firmly believed that it is important for the future of the church. To start, everything was so good. More people than we expected participated in the youth group meeting. We are so thankful and grateful for our youth who came to the youth group meeting and left behind all the worldly pleasures and their busy schedules. We did our best, but the enjoyable honeymoon period did not last long. As our youth get older, their schedules get busy between school and their activities, music, sports, and etc. Make it difficult for them to spend their extra time at the church youth group meeting. Since we know, understand, and we want to respect their situation, we never try to push them. Furthermore, we have geographical issue, as it is 27 miles from Grantsburg to St. Clair Falls. It is just impossible to find the best day and time, considering all our youth members' schedule who live in different towns and attend 4 different schools. And on the top of this, we don't have enough financial resources to support our youth group and let them do whatever they want to try. From food preparation to program planning and running and to clean up, everything from A to Z, Pastor Google and I in charge. Some days, only one youth would come out. Nevertheless, we cannot stop, because we believe that it is necessary for the future of the church and for our children. Some people say that there is only an input and no output in youth group. Even if our youth are very faithful, now in our youth group, it is unlikely that after college, they will be able to come back and dedicate themselves to the church. Nevertheless, I hope and pray that the belief and faith planted in their hearts and minds will lead them, guide them, and help them to make a right choice in God when they encounter difficult or tempting situations. We won't be their church home, which can embrace them whenever they want to come back, like Jesus, who embraces us whenever we come to Him. Therefore, regardless of how many youth come, we want to continue doing our best. This year, it has been 4 years since I started my ministry at Upper St. Croix Parish in July 2016. So now I'm making the third Ezra report, which is the year-end statistical report for each local church. This means that I am wrestling with a lot of numbers. While I was meditating today's gospel lesson to prepare a sermon, along with working on the statistical report, I was wondering about whether my ministry, which I try to put everything that I have into, my love, my passion, my time and effort, is well accepted or rejected by the church members who have been walking this journey together with me. Suddenly, figures don't lie came up to my mind. So I looked at all the numbers in the report again. And this made me sad, because it was not the results I wanted, where I can confidently say it has been a very successful ministry. However, as I look back on my past, I deeply appreciate everything that we made together. This is because I know that we did our best to not just maintain, keep the lights on at the church, but to try to do our best to make it a faithful ministry and a fruitful ministry. With this thought, God reminds me of Psalm 126 verse 5 to 6. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy, those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves in order to have a day of joy, rejoicing with joy, now we need to sow in tears. Even though we do not see many grains to reap in front of us right now, we have to sow while we are waiting for God's time. In today's gospel text, Jesus reminds us of a very important mission of the church based on Isaiah. We, as the church, need to spread the good news to the poor souls who do not know Jesus, to proclaim freedom to the captives in the worldly things by the word of God, to help people to open their eyes of faith, and to lead those who are oppressed to freedom by love and justice of God. Then, for this mission, what kind of church should we be? I will talk about it in the light of today's New Testament lesson. Following last week's scripture reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us about what kind of church we should be and how the church can become one body of Christ. First, to be the one whole body, we need each other. It is not that we do not achieve one body because each member has different gifts and different roles in the church, but it is that we cannot achieve one body with just many eyes or many hands. To make us into one church, each one's uniqueness and differences are needed. Secondly, in one body, all members are precious and useful. Some of the members seem to be more important and less important, but all have been made equally valuable and useful by God. Each one of us are the most precious in God's eyes. Thirdly, if anyone in one body is sick, the whole body is sick. Even if you only have a small paper cut on your fingers, you will feel pain all day long. As one body, we should be a truthful church community that share not only all our joy, but also all our concerns, even our pain and suffering. I hope our church will become a community that can truly pray and care for one another. Lastly, let us do what we can do according to God's gift and will for each one of us. It is not only a small church's problem that one person has multiple roles. Even every church does. I hope that our church becomes a church where each one of us has their own role and their own job and does their best in accordance with the gift and ability which God has allowed us. I feel like the new year has begun. Already, it is the last Sunday of the first month in 2019. Of course, we know that numbers cannot represent all the outcome of our ministry. But next year, when I make the fourth Ezra report, I hope and pray that we can celebrate our fruitful ministry with more shouts of joy as a much more stronger and more mature one body of Christ. Praise God. Amen.